Kairi Mai, Corsandra Kailaho, and you're with Safe and Sound, New Zealand's animal rights show, broadcasting from Free FM in the Waikato and played right throughout New Zealand via the Access radio sector. Our sponsors are Village Organics, and they're located in Frankton Village. They stock a lot of vegan produce, so if you haven't already checked them out, why don't you go along to Commerce Street there opposite the Frankton Hotel. Eating vegan food, of course, is the easiest way that we can personally help farmed animals. On the International Save Movement's website, you find the following quote from Leo Tolstoy, explaining the organisation's principle of bearing witness at slaughterhouse gates. When the suffering of another creature causes you to feel pain, do not submit to the initial desire to flee from the suffering one, but on the contrary, come closer, as close as you can, to him who suffers, and try to help him. The SAVE movement is comprised of groups around the world who bear witness of pigs, cows, chickens, and other farmed animals en route to slaughter. Their goals are to raise awareness about the plight of farmed animals and to build a mass-based grassroots animal justice movement. The SAVE movement started in December 2010 with the inception of Toronto Pig Save. Regular listeners to Safe and Sound will know that the movement's founder, Anita Quines, has been on the show talking about the SAVE movement and her prosecution for giving thirsty, panting pigs water when the truck bearing the animals stopped momentarily at slaughterhouse gates. Today, there are hundreds of groups in Canada, the US, UK, Ireland, Australia, continental Europe, Hong Kong, South America, and New Zealand. We'll be speaking to two SAVE group leaders. The first is Lizzie Birdsworth, that's her Facebook name, from Melbourne Chicken Save. And the second is Claire McRae, who founded the Auckland SAVE movement. Both women epitomise the SAVE movement's philosophy of peacefully and compassionately bearing witness to individual animals about to be slaughtered. It is a love-based movement, without anger or judgment against truckers or slaughterhouse workers who are, as Claire says, only cogs in the wheel. I think you'll enjoy listening to these brave and dedicated women who are joining forces with others around the world in order to seek justice for the tens of billions of farmed animals who die every year, often at only a few months old, sometimes only days old, for our food. Hi, Lizzie. Welcome to Safe and Sound.
Thanks, Sandra. Nice to be here.
Lovely to have you on. When I looked on your Facebook page, I saw that you used to be in a rock band. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I did. I started playing in rock bands in the late 70s.
Yeah.
And I went through until probably 2006, played in about 13 different bands, various instruments, guitar, drums, bass, singing, did a bit of everything.
Goodness.
And it was good fun.
Yeah.
But hard to organise people to all be in the same place at the same time sometimes, and my animal rights got so busy that I gave the music side of things up.
Oh, well, I can understand your priorities. So where did it all begin for you, the animal rights side?
Well, it started when I became vegetarian for animal cruelty reasons in 1984, and then I moved to veganism in 1986. And in between that time, I started thinking about the issues with animal cruelty in a lot of industries, and I became a member of Animal Liberation in South Australia.
Right.
And also the Anti-Vivisection Union of South Australia.
Right.
And I was on committees of both, and I was the publicity officer for the Anti-Vivisection Union for probably about 2 or 3 years.
Right.
We did a lot of stuff back then.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved over to Melbourne. This was all in South Australia, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Then I moved over to Melbourne and continued my animal rights from 1996 onwards.
And you've been a vegan how long?
1986 I went vegan, and for 2 years, and then I had a terrible lapse for about 6 months where I ate some dairy in that time frame, and then feeling like a hypocrite, I decided, no, that's it, I've got to be strong. Because back then it was slightly difficult. you know, you couldn't even buy soy milk or
exactly.
anything.
Exactly, 86, milk. There weren't many vegans around in 86. I didn't go vegan until about 7 years ago, although I've been a vegetarian since I was very young. And I know what you mean by feeling guilty, feeling hypocritical. When I first became vegan, I still sometimes would have a bit of honey. But I've kind of gotten over that now too. I just think of the poor queen bees with their clipped wings, and that restrains me from taking the honey off the shelf.
Yeah, well, my whole reasoning was that the animals and the insects make everything for themselves.
Yeah.
They don't make it so that we can steal it from them.
That's right.
So in that respect, then, you know, it makes you want to stop taking it from them when you see that they make it so that they can live with their families happily.
Yeah. So tell us about Melbourne Chicken Save. You obviously have a special affinity with chickens. Why do you love chickens?
What's not to love? I started rescuing chickens in the beginning of 2013 when I met up with some people who were doing chicken rescue, and I became part of the team, and I took in some myself. I'd always wanted to have some rescued animals or help with rescue of some sort. I didn't ever think that I was capable or would know enough about the individual animals to do it. But meeting these people who were very knowledgeable and gave me a lot of support, I started off with 9 one-day-old broiler baby chickens that we went in and rescued. And
broiler, of course, are the chickens that are reared for meat, distinguished from layer hens who lay eggs.
Correct. The correct name is called Cornish Cross, but most people know them as broiler chickens because as meat chickens, they're called broiler chickens. So the white ones that you see on mass in sheds, basically, are broilers. I started with 9 one-day-old of those living in my bedroom and raised them, and then they all went to farm sanctuaries when they got old enough. From that point on, I just really enjoyed interacting with chickens. I'd never really interacted with them except going to animal sanctuaries and seeing them and maybe holding one. But, you know, I had an affinity with them after that.
Yeah.
See how amazing and intelligent, social they are. And that was it. I started taking in ex-layer chickens and doing rescues. And that was early 2013.
Yep.
And I still do it to this day.
Are they still in your bedroom, Lizzie?
No. Well, I mean, there have been others in there, but yeah, it gets like a bit of a farmyard inside when you have to get them out. They, when they're old enough, they're out into the yard.
Have you
come in the house, of course.
They're quite curious, aren't they? And they definitely would like to come and have a little poke around.
They love coming in and sleeping in the dog's bed.
Have you seen that lovely picture of a hen who's got 2 pigeons under her wing looking after the pigeons? So quite a maternal hen, this one.
Yes, I have. I've seen others with kittens as well, with kittens under their wings. Gorgeous. That led me to want to create Melbourne Chicken Save, to speak up for chickens, because the more I found out about them, the more people I thought people needed to know about what we are doing to this wonderful creature.
Yeah. And in the sheer numbers, do you happen to have any figures on you in terms of how many chickens are killed every year in Australia?
Yeah, I know them off by heart because there's 550 million meat or broiler chickens killed every year. They can't get an exact figure for layer hens for deaths. They say it's 12 million or 13 million, give or take a million, gets slaughtered each year after laying in Australia. So that just shows you the magnitude of the numbers raised for meat and eggs in Australia.
I think in terms of numbers, there is no doubt that chickens are the most abused animal on the planet. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. They are the most abused, like, land animal. As we know, there's the sea life goes into trillions.
Yeah.
But with land animals, chickens are the most abused en masse because they are small, so they breed many, many more of them than cows, sheep, pigs, etc. That way, that's why the numbers are so massive for chickens. And each one of them, an individual, goes through that systemic abuse in the chicken industry, whether it's for eggs or for their flesh.
Right. So tell us about what one of your Save Movement vigils is like. What do you do? What do your signs say? How often do you hold the vigils and so on? Give us a picture.
Sure. So we started off doing our vigils at a local slaughterhouse called Data Poultry, and we would go there once. We would start, it was a bit sporadic. We did once a fortnight for a while, then we would do once a month. We had an agreement with them to stop four trucks for 5 minutes each vigil. Our signs would say, please stop, no hate for truckers, please stop, let us be with the chickens for 2 minutes. And, the chickens are individuals, that they're not property, that they just don't deserve what's happening to them. All of the signs that we had say that. That slaughterhouse closed down. It was on its way to closing down. That slaughterhouse closed down, and we moved to another slaughterhouse out north at Thomastown, who were very, very aggressive towards us and would not let us stop trucks. We had three vigils where we were able to stop trucks there ourselves by standing in front asking them to stop. And then some trucks would stop of their own volition and we would get 2 or 3 minutes with the chickens. That all stopped because they said that they will not even allow us 1 second per truck because they don't want us to see what's in the truck. That slaughterhouse now have tried to threaten us with legal proceedings if we keep doing that. So, which we don't want to. We don't want to get to that point. But it just shows what they're trying to hide. They are very afraid of people seeing what they actually going on in there and what's happening in the trucks. Because all of the trucks we were able to document, there were many sick, dying, and dead chickens in those trucks, of course. So now what we do is we go there, and we had one last night. We go there to the traffic lights, which are very close to the slaughterhouse, and we have vigils at the traffic lights alerting the public to what's going on just in that back street in their neighbourhood, and we do outreach at the traffic lights.
They have to work in darkness. They have to work out of sight because, well, the sentence comes to mind, would you prefer to take your child strawberry picking or to a slaughterhouse? And that says it all, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And the company that owns that slaughterhouse, they're called Cherry Foods. They also own another slaughterhouse down out in the west in Geelong called Golden Farms. And on February the 2nd, another group that I helped with called DXC Melbourne, we went down and organised an actual disruption in that slaughterhouse, and we got massive amounts of footage that's never been seen before, never been obtained before from Australian chicken slaughterhouses. And that was in response to a terrible truck crash on January the 15th where 6,000 chickens got flung from trucks. They were hanging by wings, they were hanging by legs, they were dismembered and still alive. The executives came on site and refused anyone who was there. We had vet nurses, activists, people willing to give them homes. We had medicines, we had everything waiting, and they would not let us take one chicken to, have them treated and live a life in the sanctuary.
It's people who own and work in these places are very defensive because deep down they know what they're doing. So that's why they get so aggressive, I think, against people like yourself who want to raise awareness about the terrible things that are going on behind slaughterhouse doors. Just as a fellow activist, I want to ask you, speaking for myself, compassion for individual animals is a huge driver for me in the work that I do, but also there's a sense of injustice, a horror that we can do this at all, that we can raise animals in sheer misery and then slit their throats or gas them or whatever so that we can eat them. It's just so wrong to me. And so for me, it's a mixture of compassion for these poor suffering animals and the sheer stunned indignation and strong sense of injustice that we can do it at all. And it's condoned and normal.
That we're capable of the things that we do.
That we're capable of doing it. And of course, most people would turn away from seeing suffering animals, but by their food choices, they perpetuate what goes on in slaughterhouses. Just finally, Lizzie, are you optimistic that things are changing?
Well, I do think there's more information there available to people who may be curious about changing. I think that I just don't know whether it's the internet and technology that we know more things, that we know the numbers, we know the figures of animals killed. But in the beginning, there was no figures collected hardly. There wasn't readily available information. And as we go on, there's more and more information that we find out of the horrific practices that you know happen to animals. All of the cruelty seems to be magnified by having Facebook and all those options to view what's going on. But I do think at the moment there is a surge and a shift, because if you look around the world, this also, as well as providing all this horrible information to us, has given us connection with the rest of the world. We can talk to someone in America, England, you know, New Zealand, anywhere. We can talk to them straight away by being online and discussing what's going on. We can arrange events. We can help each other to keep going, help each other with advice and help each other to cope with what's going on. And I think there are just so many more people now coming out to speak up for animals that I do think it's changing. And I think it's a bit of a pivotal point at the moment that it's really going to move from here. I do know in Australia, especially Melbourne where I live, things have actually gone quite crazy animal rights wise, and it's fantastic. There's so much going on in the vegan community and the animal rights community that it's really good to look around and think, it's happening.
I agree with you, and I think that things are massively changing. Thank you so much, Lizzie, for all that you do. You're a real powerhouse. I'm going to speak soon to Claire McRae of the Auckland Save Movement. We've got a couple of Save Movements going on in New Zealand now as well. And of course, we have the wonderful Anita Quines to thank for the Global Save Movement. How many are there now? 100?
300
Save Movements.
300 groups at last count. There could be more, because that was about two weeks ago that I saw the numbers go up to 300. But yeah, it's fantastic you have Save.
It is just so
over in New Zealand now, and I met Anita last September, and she's just a powerhouse. She's just non-stop on a mission.
On a mission, that's right. And I think you also are on a mission, Lizzie. And thank you on behalf of all of those chickens and all the other animals that you love and make sacrifices in your own life to be able to help and to change minds and hearts in society. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Sandra. Same to you too for doing it as well, and to, you know, allowing people to speak out as well on this fantastic radio show. I think it's fantastic.
Well, thanks for that, Lizzie, and you're pretty fantastic yourself, as is our next guest, Claire McRae. I apologise in advance for the sound quality in Claire's interview. I was having a few problems recording earlier. Anyway, let's now listen to Claire McRae.
About 4 years ago, I watched a documentary called Earthling. I was very shocked about what happened to animals, and so I went vegan from that. It took me about 2 years, though, to actually firstly know any other vegans. So I was quite isolated for the first 2 years. And then pretty soon after that, get into activism. So I started by going to a New Zealand anti-vivisection meeting. There was a lovely girl who was organising who got me in touch with a whole lot of other groups. And it basically just started from there. I started to organise the Earthlings Experience, which is where we show graphic footage to the public on devices. And then since then, we've upgraded it to similar style of activism called Anonymous for the Voiceless. Chalking the pavement with positive vegan messages, cabling, that sort of thing.
Anonymous for the Voiceless, of course, is where the activists stand in a cube shape and show graphic footage on their laptops wearing a mask. They're anonymous in the sense that you don't know who's behind the mask, but the message is loud and clear, isn't it?
We found that that's a very effective style of activism.
Tell us about the Auckland Save movement.
So I started the Auckland Save movement branch last year, got things like the logo sorted and did a bit of scouting of the slaughterhouses. To be honest, because I was the only person from Auckland at the time who was organising, I didn't feel as confident to get this fully off the ground. But this year I've got a good support group around me. So we've already been out to the slaughterhouse and essentially trialled stopping the trucks, bearing witness to the animals. That's provided a very good basis for getting the Auckland Save movement started.
Do you feel that it's confronting action? What's your personal reaction when you're on a vigil?
It is confronting for me in the sense of stopping the trucks and having that potential interaction with the truckers. I want to emphasise we're not targeting workers. This is not about that.
Yeah.
That they are essentially just cogs in the system, and we don't want to make their jobs any worse than they may already be. In terms of seeing the animals, for me, I was a little surprised that I'm not as emotional as I thought I would be. We had a couple of people at the previous event when we saw the animals crying. I'm very conscious that we may just have one opportunity to get footage of these animals to bear witness. I'm worried about that all the other activists are okay and safe, and I'm just conscious that the truck might only be there for a few minutes. For me, I'm thinking about all those practicalities in my head, and it tends to hit me later once everyone's gone home and I'm by myself, and I'm thinking, at this very moment in time, what are those animals going through? Are they in the waiting pen? Are they in line waiting to have their throat slit? Are they having their throat slit? Are they being dismembered? You know, what's happening right then at that place that I was so close to moments before? That's when it really starts to hit me.
I can sympathise with what you're saying, very much so.
So my attraction to the Save movement, I think, is twofold. Initially, I was drawn to the fact that this is a great way to get footage out to people who haven't yet made that connection between the animals that they are eating, between what they are eating and the individuals behind those so-called products. So I think that footage is really powerful to get people to connect with the individuals. And secondly, the connection with those animals is also beneficial for the activists on site, so whether they be vegan or not, because everyone is welcome to come to these vigils. If they're not vegan, maybe they will reconsider their choices and adopt more cruelty-free lifestyle. Or if they are vegan, it will inspire them to become more active and speak up for the animals in other avenues. And the third thing, I guess, is the connection with the animals on the day, to be there for them, to provide them with one final act of human kindness, and also to provide them with water and whatever else they may need at that time, and to remain calm.
It's very powerful and moving, as you've described it. Do you have any idea of numbers of animals that are slaughtered in New Zealand every year?
The statistics that I got from the Ministry for Primary Industry site said that there are 23 million sheep, 4 million beef and dairy cattle, including about 1.7 million bobby calves, 650,000 pigs, and 125,000 goats, and over 115 million broiler hens, or hens that are bred for meat. They are pretty staggering numbers. The sheer numbers of animals that are brought in, even just in 1 hour or a couple of hours, particularly with broilers, they're stacked up high, and you know, you've got double trucks, and then have a few trucks come in per hour, and thinking, I've been standing on the sidewalk witnessing thousands of animals go in to their deaths, you know, and it's just another day.
Sometimes words fail me. I just kind of sink into a kind of a catatonic state to think that we could do it to these poor innocent animals in such numbers on a daily basis. I've also been at a slaughterhouse, a vigil, and in 1 hour seen something like 500-600 animals go in. you know, some of these big trucks can take 400 animals. I think more and more people now are beginning to sense that the mood is changing, that the climate or the zeitgeist is changing, and that people are moving away from using animals for food. Do you agree?
Yes, I definitely think so. I mean, there are days where I feel a bit more pessimistic, but mostly I am optimistic with the rise in the number of vegan products and how veganism is becoming more mainstream, and also the rise in vegan activism both globally and in New Zealand. I think social media has a lot to do with that.
Yeah, of course.
But I see particularly a rise of a lot of young people getting into activism, which I find really empowering and inspiring. So it is a great time to get into things.
Yes.
To get into activism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's great.
All right, Gia. Go well, Claire. We'll talk again soon, and thank you.
And thank you for all the work that you do as well.
All right, Gia. Bye-bye, okay. Claire.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Our thanks to Claire and Lizzie for coming on the show today. We'll go out on a track that Lizzie chose. Very apt, I think. I'll stand by you. Until next week, everyone. Matiwa, go well. Bye-bye.
Oh, why you look so sad? Tears are in your eyes. Come on and come to me. Ashamed to cry. Let me see you through. 'Cause I've seen the dark side too. When the night falls on you, you don't know what to do.